listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, presented from a galaxy far, far away, which no one requested. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here as well. Gonna talk some Chosen Ones and then some choice music at some point today, I think, right?
And we are in for a special presentation today. We are doing a Star Wars roundtable with two extra guests here in the booth, mostly because it's easier for me to not have to edit a podcast that way. We are joined in the booth first by...
Hey, I'm Jay Chanel.
Woo! And also...
Hey, I'm... yeah, I'm Bex Finkelstein, so...
The wife has finally joined me on the podcast again after, like, six seasons or so. So, mostly I lured her in for talk of Star Wars and eventually K-pop Demon Hunters. So... So, we are talking Star Wars. I specifically started the idea for this roundtable discussion because Jay Chidel is a big old expanded universe nerd, which say with all the love in the heart right there. You have mentioned on more than one occasion on the discourse that we share that you like the novels and the other things, which is something that I think the rest of us who have even bothered with Star Wars at all have not been able to get into. So I felt like it was an interesting time to bring you in to the podcast, since you are going to have different reactions to things than the rest of us do. I was watching someone do a discussion about the Clone Wars and how the Clone Wars is depicted on the series counteracts with some of the expanded universe and so forth. So I'm kind of curious, just to start off the discussion here, what are your thoughts about Disney rebooting away the old EU and calling it Legacy or Legends or whatever and doing their own new thing? Because... I'm sure you, like, from, like, the Timothy Zahn books on, you were a little invested.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I they're all in storage right now, so they're not behind me, but I've got, like, 80, 90 of the books and whatnot. So, fair warning, I'm usually a original trilogy past, so I don't do a ton with the Clone Wars and beforehand.
Okay.
But they had so much already built up. All they had to do was just use it. They had decades and decades and decades of movies and stories to tell. And it's like, yay, dumpster fire. And now, hey, by the way, these aren't official now.
Yeah. They got rid of the Solo twins and replaced them with Kylo Ren, who's... I mean, even if I didn't know about the Solo twins, which I really don't because I haven't read the books, Kylo Ren feels like quite the downgrade.
It's so much, and there's so much they could have done with them. Like, they could have even combined the twins into one person. Like, they could have done both of them and had it. Because, like, I guess we're not going to do spoiler alerts too much with the books because they've been out for, like, 40 years.
Like, statute of limitations for me is, like, 17 years max, but, I mean, in most cases, it's even shorter than that.
So, I stopped reading them about the end of college or something when real life took over and jobs and stupidity and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But... when I stop, basically Jason, so one of the Solo twins, turned dark. And so he had been through the entire Vong War, he had his own daughter, he had everything going on, and then he watched her like get in trouble and turn dark.
Mm-hmm.
They had this arc. They could have done it. They could have made Kylo Ren Jason and just done it.
Yeah. Plus, like, it seems like I only read a little bit of, like, the Young Jedi Knights.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. A little bit of those. So it's like, I know about the twins and I know about Ben. And I'm like, okay, so Disney did the money grab, kicked everyone out so they didn't have to share, and then stole, they cherry-picked some things. And it's like, so...
it didn't make it cohesive.
Oh, there's still a Ben, but it's not, it's not Ben. So...
yeah. And then what they did with Luke and the rest of it, oh, no.
I'm not a purist. I haven't read any. I tried reading the Zahn trilogy, Heir to the Empire or whatever it was. I think I got that one right. Did I?
Yep.
Cool. Look at me. So one tiny iota of knowledge. I tried to read that and I found this, despite the fact that I could read Star Trek books all day, I couldn't get into the Star Wars books. I found them kind of boring. I guess I feel bad saying that, but I kind of did.
No?
I'm sure most people would find Star Trek books boring, and I for like 10 years there, I read nothing but them because my dad had a huge collection. So it is what it is. But I do know that because Disney didn't want to pay for all the rights for everything, a lot of characters had to be thrown out and certain plot lines had to be thrown out. You can have a Ben Solo because Solo's a name that already exists and old Ben already exists. Yeah. So You don't have to worry about copyright there, especially if you change them to be a different character altogether. But for a lot of it, it's just like, well, we don't want to pay the writer for their loose copyright for their novel. So unless it's Timothy Zahn and it's Thrawn, we're just not going to pay attention at all. We're going to make something else, which all the Myra Jane stans are upset about.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're not even going. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, and I'm a big Ahsoka fan. Like, I love Ahsoka, and I love how we actually get to see the whole growth, which you don't really get to see in the movies and whatnot, yeah. Or, like, with other characters. But, like, oh, we could have feasted on, like, badass women characters. And
like, no. Mara Jade is amazing. Jaina is amazing. Oh, my God. Her in the Vong Wars is, like, she grew up so much. I'm like... She's the one who has to kill Jason at the end of it. Like, you got this entire arc that you grow up together. It's your twin, and you got to take him out.
Now I need to read those books.
Oh, God.
She doesn't mind spoilers.
Spoiler,
so
but now I'm in.
No, I know. That's I how I hook you on stuff. Yeah.
No, honestly, I was that person. I usually read the last paragraph of a book, and then I go back to the beginning and read the whole book.
Yeah, like no, for me, knowing spoilers actually gets me to... Get
it's like, how did that happen? Where did they get? How did they get it's, there?
I actually don't. I don't hate on people that do that because I've known a few people who actually all for the same fucking book. Anne Rice wrote a mummy book. I think it's actually just called The Mummy, and it's a great book. Don't get me wrong, but it ends on a cliffhanger, like a massive, massive cliffhanger. I won't spoil it except for it's a cliffhanger. But the book's like 35 years old. You weren't going to read it anyway. The thing is, she never wrote a sequel. So I've known a ton of people who are like, what the fuck? And now won't read a book until they read the last chapter just to make sure they didn't get fucked by Anne Rice again.
That's basically me and Dune. I watched the first movie and I went, oh my God, I gotta know how this happens. And so I borrowed the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the first third of the book is spoiled for me because I watched the movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, how did that happen?
But at least you don't have to worry about not getting an ending until you get six books in. Because no, totally off topic because we're talking Star Wars, but the Dune series is supposed to be 9 books and Frank Herbert died after writing 6 of them. His son
something
picked it up
like that.
Yeah, his son picked it up and decided, I'm not going to touch the ending people want. I'm going to go write a prequel series no one cares about. So good job. Seems there safe. Guys, yay.
Seems safe,
right? So really pleasing the fan base right there. Great work. Anyway, so I mean, on the topic of Mara Jane, though, at least you can get yourself a lightsaber for $300 from Disney World for that.
I have one.
Oh,
yeah. I have one. Yeah,
I have one, too.
They recently said they're putting out a Mara Jade edition of the lightsaber. No. Not anything else about her character, just the lightsaber.
What? How?
Yeah.
What?
No. Yeah. That you can only get at the park. So if you really like the character, don't worry about her story or anything. Just go buy her a lightsaber for $300.
Don't give Luke an actual...
and like I'm pretty Disney obsessed. I work there and damn it, they piss me off. They're on this.
Okay. Having gone now with the important part, which was getting your thoughts on the canon, which I felt was vastly important to start with, let us now actually get into some characters. How do you feel about like the movies, and we can go for everyone on this, because depending upon how you do it, there's the original trilogy, there's also the prequel trilogy. Do you pay attention to all of those? Do you pay attention to the sequels? Do you think the sequels don't exist? Anything from the Disney era? Do you consider, like, the Star Wars stories ones to be in canon? Where is your personal canon? How much of it do you actually appreciate?
This is gonna be great. Let's go.
Just give me some popcorn now. Share.
Hold my beer.
I'm sorry. Okay, so I started with episode 5, even though it was after I was already born, after I was old, whatnot. So there was a re-showing of episode 5 in a local theater, and Dad took me to go see it. It's like, oh, this is cool. It scared the living daylights out of me. I still cannot watch Empire Strikes Back. Like, seeing Darth Vader walk through those tunnels as like a 6-year-old or something, I was terrified. Still am. So 6 is my all-time favorite. Like, just seeing Luke with that green lightsaber, green is my favorite color, Luke is my favorite character. I dressed up as him as Halloween for years. Like, 6 is always going to be the best. Ewoks forever. Four if you have to watch a movie just one off, because it's a complete story. I do like the prequels. So episode one is meh, it's episode one, it kind of started it. Two for me has a weird special place. I've told it a few times in the Discord, but my dad got me out of school to go see the midnight showing. Like, we got out, we took the day, we went to go see the midnight showing then that night. It was just kind of a special memory of having with it. So two's may or may not be a great movie. It's a great memory. So therefore, two is a great movie. And then three's just fun. Like, lightsaber battles, fire, lava, explosions. Like, you can't not.
Mustafar. You were my brother!
Yeah. I had hope for seven. I had hope for seven. I watched it. I remember going to the theater and going, okay, this has potential. I watched eight. I don't remember much about eight, apart from, like, the walkers and Luke doing whatever Luke did that doesn't make sense for what Luke would have done for how his character was written in the prequel. Anyway, and then I still haven't seen nine. I have not watched it. No. So, the cherry in all of it, though, is Rogue One is good. I liked Rogue One. Oh, and the only complaint, it's not really a complaint. The only complaint is going back with the legacy now, there's a Rogue Squadron series. Like, there is a series of like 12 to 16 books just about Rogue Squadron that they could have then taken Rogue One into, completely avoided the Jedi. Like, let's get away from the Jedi stories. Let's get away from Luke and all this magical crap, whatnot. And let's just focus on starfighting. And they could have done so good. In my head, the movies are the fiction and the books are the real one.
That makes sense. I get that.
I think that's like so often with a lot of series is like, especially for adaptations of books, like the books usually, you know, they're the holy grail of what it is.
Yeah.
For me, I like my first one was, you know, A New Hope back when I was like younger, but it was the special edition. It was after, you know, they did some reworking of stuff. So that was my like introduction to it. And I loved it. I love space wizards. Like, I'll own that. So, but yeah, my favorite of the original trilogy is Return of the Jedi. Cause that's when like Luke gets to be kind of badass and I don't know. It's just fun for me. The prequels, episode one, has a special place in my heart because that's when I'm a big ol' hoe for lightsabers, so that's when you get to see Jedi fight, like, fast. It's not this, you know, the slow kind of pacing. It has its place, and it was fun in the time, like, because you're like, oh, on the edge of your seat, but, like, to see Obi-Wan come out of those laser gates just full on Darth Maul and just, it was so fast. I'm like, yes. And, you know, try to keep up with Ray Parks for Pete's sake. I mean, as far as my favorite Jedi, I mean, Ahsoka is kind of like an easy pick. Like, beginning to end, like, she has a special place in my heart. But I always fall back between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. Like, I love Obi-Wan. I love, like, the Sir Alec Guinness in the originals. He was always cool to me. And then Ewan McGregor, I'm just like, yes, this is cool. Yeah, I don't remember too much of episode two because, you know, it's the love story thing. Episode three, yeah, that's... Same with you. I'm like, there's fire.
Lightsaber's fire.
The post-trilogy, like, I was always excited to see because I'm a big fan of Fast and Furious for Pete's sake. Like, I can, like, shut off my brain a little bit. And I did not read a lot of the extended universe. You know, I know about, you know, Chewbacca dying to a moon or something.
Oh, don't get me started.
Is that like Majora's Mask? Oh. Did it come crashing down or something?
Did he have three days?
Right. Tell me the lore.
I can tell you the lore, but I'm going to let you finish.
yeah, like, I... Kind of like you, like, I did see all three of the post ones. I enjoyed them enough. I really geeked out on the X-Wings. Okay, lightsabers and X-Wings are my two weak points. So to see, like, the details of the X-Wings, and they're like, ah, it was cool. I was really mad at the very ending with the whole Kylo Ren.
Rey,
thank you. I'm like, it starts with an I forgot her name.
She had potential too.
Mary Sue.
Yeah, and that connection had potential, and I'm so mad. Are we allowed to say the ending? Do you care, Jay Shidell?
No, I know. Like, I haven't seen the movie, but I know.
Hasn't it been almost like 10 years since the movie came out? You're fine.
Yeah.
Six, but feels like 10.
Like, the Palpatine connection stuff? Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, there's a part of me that I'm like, okay, maybe, because I there's one thing I hate is, like, people bashing on Star Wars just... That's the one thing that will set me off. Because I'm like, I've heard it a million times. Shut up.
And she's still married to me somehow.
Well, because we have boundaries. That's important.
That is the key to a healthy relationship and marriage, 100%. Boundaries and understanding. It works.
I'm like, he can have his opinions. That's fine. And they're valid.
They can be wrong. Oh.
But...
We were a Star Wars and Star Trek household for the longest time, and then I went neck deep into, like, The Expanse, and I'm never coming back now, so.
Oh, yeah.
The Expanse is amazing. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, there was so much potential. I wish they did more with Finn.
Yeah.
Like, what about his, like, lightsaber?
You get the vibe that J.J. Abrams was setting up this, like, two Jedi, and maybe one of them, like, maybe they both redeem Kylo, or one of them goes bad, and the other... There's something there. And I like Rian Johnson's eighth movie. I like that he took some narrative swerves that you wouldn't expect from Star Wars, and as a not-huge Star Wars fan, narrative swerves interested me. But I will agree that some of the things that he decided to swerve on, like, probably threw all parts of characters' plot lines out the door, or out the window, like fucking Finn and what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and it almost felt like the, you know, people who were at the helm were not, like, real Star Wars fans kind of thing, did not care about the legacy or anything like that. Even though, I mean, I do enjoy grumpy old man Luke for being a grumpy old man, but, I mean, I can agree with you there where, like, yeah, there are some things where it's like,
well,
I don't know, squinty-eyed.
If they're going to have three different directors, they should have, like, set them down and said, here is the story. Now, you can do what you want within it, but the general storyline is going to be Arthur pulls the sword out of the stone, fights the bad guys, becomes king, you know.
Mm-hmm. Key points.
So,
yeah,
there was actually supposed to be that. The trick, there were two decisions that were made that really changed that whole thing. The first was J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan originally asked for 3 extra months. To finish the movie, the episode 7. They didn't want to release it at Christmas, they wanted to release it in spring, and that would allow them to have more time to build up the whole trilogy before they passed it off to other people. They were denied that, and they were told a Christmas release had to happen that year. So that cut down. So instead of big script treatments, they did little treatments that were supposed to guide the next people along. And then the second decision that was made was Kathleen Kennedy didn't force Rian Johnson, for reasons, to stick to the treatment that J.J. Abrams did, and he changed a bunch because he also wrote the script. And I'm not mad at Rian Johnson for doing that. You don't hire Rian Johnson to make anything but a Rian Johnson movie. This is the guy that made the teenage neo-noir movie Brick. He made Knives Out. The guy does not do standard movies. He reinvents them. The mistake was hiring Rian Johnson and expecting him not to make a Rian Johnson movie.
In the Star Wars universe, nonetheless.
Yeah, End of the day, you don't hire this man to make a normal movie. That's not what he does.
The mistake was not making Heir to the Empire. Oh, sorry, we passed that point.
Yeah, so, anyway. Mike, your movies.
For me, the first one I saw was Empire, and I loved it. Empire, to this day, is my favorite Star Wars, period. Fight me, it's so good. There's something about the grimness of how it ends with Han and Carbonite. They're looking out the window as Lando's going out there with Chewie to go find Han somewhere. It ends on such a grim note, but there's hope there. It's so good. Like, everything about Empire just hits right for me. I saw New Hope after that, and I liked it. I'm already in the Star Wars vibe. I'm like, okay, this is where Luke came from. So I'd seen Luke where he was, and then I got to see where he came from. It was interesting to see it in that order. And then I loved the sixth one. I mean, the redemption of Vader, the great story at the end, you know, Ewok celebration. It was a great, great ending to what I thought was the end of a trilogy. And it wasn't until like years after that I had seen them that I realized there were 4, 5, and 6 and we're getting a 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. What's that going to be like? Phantom Menace, I loved. And Bex, you're 100% right. The lightsaber fights in that were incredible. I didn't understand as like a 16-year-old kid, 17, whatever I was at the time, how the fighting and everything looks so much better in this than the previous one, because it was very lumbering with Vader in the original, very, very stalking, walking. There wasn't a lot of like acrobatics and all that. The most you got was Luke kind of climbing up some wires or something. Like, but there was different in that. It brought a whole new level to the acting and the choreography, which I really enjoyed. Clones was good. Love story, fine. You find out, like, you know, all this stuff that happened behind the scenes that Obi-Wan didn't know about too. Like, okay, I get it. It felt a little weird, but it was fine. And then Revenge of the Sith was awesome. Mustafar, fire, you know, I have the high ground, you know, you underestimate my power. Like, you know, just Anakin just goes full on evil. And it's just, the ending was just, it was great. You know, right down to the helmet sliding on and like the little bit of smoke coming out as he's breathing. Like, it just hit right. It was good. And it ended and it went on. And then they kind of became a punchline for a little while, the first ones. Like, you know, Jar Jar was a bit of a joke and things started coming out about how goofy some things were. And like, they kind of turned into where 1, 2, and 3 were like, okay, they were fine. But 4, 5, and 6 is where it's at. And then we hear we're getting the next trilogy and we're excited for this. Like, let's go. And then The Force Awakens come out and it's just a new hope with a new skin. And like, I'm into it. Like, this is good. You followed the formula. I am back involved now. Like, you're starting me off right. Let's get the Jedi. Have Jedi be my empire of this. Have that be that movie that just makes me just want to see the ending here. And then it happens. And I hate it. every single bit of it. I hate it. The star, you know, the light speed thing through the Star Destroyer was very cool. Like, that was very cool. There was some neat, but it was a really slow car chase on cruise control with a plot point over to the side where they're going to find this guy who's maybe important, and then you get Benicio del Toro to play him, and then he's not important. And he just disappears after 15 minutes. I didn't understand what that movie was. I hated it. And then Luke comes out at the end. You're like, okay, Luke doing his thing. But you take my man, and Jay kind of hit on this a little bit, who is like, he is Jedi. He is what everybody should be. And like, I will buy that he has a moment of weakness, especially when it's a family member like that. Like, I buy it. I don't buy he tries to kill him. I just don't. Right. That's not Luke. Luke would never do that. And when you have Mark Hamill, professional that he is, saying, I fundamentally disagree what they're doing with the character, but I'm a professional. But I'm a professional. Like, he played his part and he did the best he could with what he had. And then, fine. You shit on a lot that I care about, but fine. At least it was a professional movie and there were some cool visuals. But when Rise of Skywalker happened and all of the fan theories in between 2017 and 2019 about what is Rey, where she come from, when everything you could find on the internet and think about was better than the end product that I felt like it was written by like ChatGPT before ChatGPT was a thing. Like, let's just like give me a Star Wars where there's an evil force and just draw from things that is sentimental for everybody and just throw it all in a blender. And that's what it was. And the arc was shit. The Kylo at the end was shit. The fights were shit. It made me appreciate the original prequel 1, 2, and 3 so much more of the effort and the work and the storytelling and the world building and everything they built up in that. That was a punchline for 10 years waiting for this next trilogy to come out. Just grew. I appreciated it so much more. So while 5 is my favorite and 4 and 6 are great, 1, 2, and 3 are light years ahead of where 7, 8, 9 are, in my opinion. And 9 can just take a steaming turd and go to hell.
Why haven't watched it?
So, I mean, I've shared my opinions on this podcast many times. I think this is like the 5th Star Wars episode that I've done for this podcast at this point. So I've, like, between all the hosts that I've had on here joining me in the booth, I've talked Star Wars out my ass way too much. So, the short answer for me is that I like the original trilogy. I actually have them on DVD in the version where you get the original versions before George Lucas decided to make any changes, even changing the title to Episode 4. It's just Star Wars.
Yep.
Which...
Greedo did not shoot first.
And never fucking will.
Yeah, Greedo never shot first.
But it's a thing of, I like that trilogy for what it is. I think 4 and 5 are fantastic. I'll accept the Space Bears because it at least closes out the trilogy. And we're fine. I can take those three. I went with my gaming group back in the day on opening weekend to see Episode 1. And it's like that dude that reviews food online. My disappointment was immeasurable and my day was ruined. And the key point, there are cool scenes in it. The pod race is fantastic to watch. It's one of the most tactile and heavy parts of that movie just for, like, pure action. It's great. I sit up and watch that anytime that movie is on, which isn't very often because I hate it. And I think the lightsaber battle at the end is fantastic. I've watched that a few times on its own just because that, with Duel of the Fates and everything going on.
The music.
Fucking
yeah.
Phenomenal.
Music is
so
amazing.
Good. So yeah, good.
Kills me.
But that movie lost me less than an hour in, and it wasn't fucking Jar Jar or anything else that was going on.
One word.
Midichlorians, and you knew it was coming. And it's right there. Because I've seen people try and defend it online, and they're like, well, it's nice that not everyone can be a Force user, because it takes more than just, you know, your own force of will to be that. And I fundamentally disagree with that, and everything that came after it in that trilogy just bored the shit out of me because I couldn't get my brain to refocus. Because I'm a Green Lantern fan, and in my opinion, anyone can be a Green Lantern. All it takes is honing your willpower. And the Force, from the original trilogy, is like a Green Lantern ring. All you gotta do is focus on it and learn it, and eventually you'll master it. And George Lucas took that idea and threw it in the trash because it was too hard to have the idea of doing clones and everything else without everyone having Force powers, which, fuck it, everyone has Force powers. I don't have a problem with that. So he wanted to hone it down and make something specific. So he made Space Jesus, who has all the midichlorians ever. That's what fucking Anakin is. Come on. And then it passes down through his line, and then for some reason, Palpatine is super cool, so that when they finally get to Rey and her reveal, she can't just be this normal person. They have to explain midichlorians again, that she's a Palpatine, so that's where her power comes from. It's so much more interesting when Luke is just a fucking dude, and when Rey is just this chick, and they just so happen to live on desert planets. Like, desert planets make the best willpower people, by coincidence, but nothing else matters. And this is where my brain shuts off, and I haven't cared.
The Kwisnat Haderach.
Spice, the spice.
The knick-knack, paddywhack, whatever you want to call it. It's.
But
it's that thing right there where this is when my brain shut off, and I've struggled to really care about Star Wars since. I enjoy the stories that aren't about Jedi more than anything else, because then I don't have to think about midichlorians. Andor, for example, Rogue One. Those are cool. And the fucking blind monk in Rogue One. He's one with the Force, and the Force is with him. How do you explain that with midichlorians? You don't.
You can't.
So, that's my problem. So, midichlorians, let's jump to that point. What the fuck?
they're the powerhouse of the cell. Like, what do you mean?
I believe you're thinking of mitochondria.
Answers that then. Nope, we're done. We're done with that one.
When did this turn into biology class?
Right? So space bugs. Space bugs have the power of the Force. Explain this to me.
Please, Prions. I love them out.
Prions, yeah.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, I got nothing on this one.
Jay, defend something you hate, please.
The midichlorians can just go away. I agree with the point that not everyone should have Jedi powers. I don't know how you get that, except for, like, you're born with it, you're not born with it, whatever. Like, it comes into the books and, okay, these people have it, these people don't. But it's not taken as a, like, we're better than you, we're you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, hey, You have Jedi stuff. Go train with Luke at the temple.
Well, it's like, I'm never going to be a good basketball player. I think even if I trained for it, I would still royally suck. I accept this about me. I'm not the kind of person that's going to be a basketball player. I take the Force in a similar way. Some people are just going to be naturally attuned just by who they are and how they, their body, their whatever, their mind, whatever it is. It's like not everyone's going to be a Green Lantern, even if there weren't a limited number of rings. You just accept that. You don't need to explain it.
Well, and in the books and stuff, like everyone has the Force. Like the Force is flowing through you. The Force is flowing through all of us, whatever. And because that's actually part of the, one of the last series I read, the Vong series. They are an extra galactic, whatever you want to call it, race that comes in. And they are not in the Force.
Hmm.
And so, like, as they get there, they're like, how do we do that? Like, none of our stuff can affect them. We can't use the Force on them. We can't, anytime that they get near us, it's not necessarily like a repulsor field, but like, we can't feel them. We don't know where they're at. We have no clue what's going on. And it basically takes everything you know about the Jedi and says, yeah, what if they can't?
Wow.
That's kind of cool, actually.
I like that.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Okay, look at that. Once again, novels better than movies in certain ways. It just took the source material.
And that's, we kind of joked at it earlier, but that's where Chewie getting killed by the moon, like, comes in. They're the first ones. Like, they're the first ones on that exterior planet of the galaxy. He's there with the Solo twins and the kid. So it's Jason, Jaina, and Anakin. So the youngest kid. They are trying to get off of the moon as quickly as they can because these aliens are coming in. They can't feel them. They don't know what's going on. The kids are like 12. So they're like just into the whatever phase. And the Falcon's taking off. Chewie picks up Anakin, throws him onto the Falcon. Door closes, it goes.
No.
And so basically the Vong have taken this moon and are charging it into the planet because they're just a bio race. And so the last line in the scene is something to the extent of Chewbacca turns to his final foe and yells.
No!
Like,
it is.
I mean, how metal is that, though? Going out on, like, the face of a moon crashing into a planet. I mean, at least they did my boy right.
And the joke was always, it took a moon to kill Chewbacca.
Fair.
Like, you had to blow up the planet he was on.
As opposed to
that was the only way.
Yeah, as opposed to the fake death they gave in episode 9, and that was just terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, this is how we're going to introduce the new enemy to show that they're nothing to mess with.
Very interesting.
I guess. I mean, on the one hand, yes, I accept. That's very cool. Mm. At the same time, killing a legacy character just for the sake of introducing a threat is one of those tropes that I struggle with, honestly.
Fair.
Yeah.
But it's also Star Wars. You're going to have tropes.
Yeah, I guess.
At the end of the day, everything that's been, I think, an IP for so long like that is going to have, you know, massive tropes. And I mean, Simpsons did it as a joke.
Yeah.
Simpsons been on for 30 years. They fucking done everything. Like, I mean, like, there's not a topic they haven't covered. And if they haven't covered it, South Park has. So, like, I mean, I get it. But to Mike's other point there, when you do find something that doesn't just decide to do that and be creative with it, that is special.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I know a lot of people bitch about episode 8, and they're like, it's slow and everything. And I get that. Like, I think Rian Johnson didn't really know what to do with Poe or with Finn. He had to give them plot lines, but he really wanted to focus on, like, Luke and Rey and their training, and that was clearly the most interesting plot line, and it's what interested him the most. He wanted to do this. Maybe flesh out the world around and so forth, and that's fine, but Luke and Rey. And I don't mind grumpy old man Luke, to get back on that topic for a second, because I feel like I never took it that he meant to kill Kylo. I think everyone has a moment of weakness, and it was more like he saw the vision and he freaked out for a second, and like, depending upon who's, because there's even unreliable narrator in the movie, depending upon whose perspective you look at, Kylo thinks Luke was gonna kill him, and Luke just like freaked out and had the saber in his hand and accidentally turned it on. Like, maybe they're both right from a certain perspective. So I think like Luke in that movie's coming at it from trauma, and it's not
Yeah, for everyone who doesn't like how Luke was portrayed, which I can understand.
Yeah,
I really can.
I get it.
I also thought it was a little interesting to see, like, that even our favorite person, the epitome, like, he managed to turn Darth Vader back to the good side. Like, I think seeing someone can actually get to a point where they're just done, where they find their own like rock bottom and have to like kind of crawl out of that. So while it's kind of hard to see, it's, I don't know, they could have done it better. They really could have.
It's a good point though, because like, you know, when you see somebody fall like that, like can they redeem themselves if they were, you know, the person who whatever. But like, I think in that case, it's so much more the way Mark Hamill brought it to the table. And Mark Hamill's like, if you want me to do this with Luke, I'm going to do it my way kind of thing. And I think he really, if it wasn't Mark Hamill playing that role, I don't think it would have been as strong of a portrayal that came across the way you see. And maybe that's my Mark Hamill blinders, but I think you're right in your context of how it works. But I think a lot of it was Mark Hamill bringing it.
Well, I actually think Rey is more interesting in that movie than she is in either 7 or 9, which speaks to the fact that J.J. Abrams had certain characters he liked better, and Rian Johnson had certain characters he liked better. Like, all of them give better performances in all 3 movies than just about anyone in George Lucas's prequel trilogy. Like, how do you make Samuel L. Jackson come across wooden? Well, George Lucas managed to figure out how to do that. So
George Lucas got that man in a movie where he didn't say motherfucker. That in itself is an accomplishment.
It was on his lightsaber.
I'll give you a purple, but you gotta not say motherfucker. He's like, shit.
All right, motherfucker. All right.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying
then
it now.
We took that and we made it lore. Like, yes, they made it the lore.
Well, I don't mind that. But there's like... The Luke thing, yeah, I get it, but I like the arc, and it's an arc they had to give him. You gotta tear him down to get him to rebuild back to where he was, but I felt like, it's not just the trope of reset someone back so they can get back to where they were. I kind of felt like in that movie, because of how far back he stumbled, that Luke then rebuilt himself even further, like, past the point of maybe even Obi-Wan and his, like, wisdom and his Jedi power and everything. He was even, unlike Obi-Wan, which is the next topic we're going to get to in a second, he doesn't idolize the Jedi Council. He doesn't think that the Jedi are the be-all and the end-all. He's willing to let even the books of the Jedi burn if he has to, just to build something new, because he realizes that just rebuilding what the Jedi did isn't the only path.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you mean making the young Jedi Knights in the temple and making it to where marriage is okay and making it to where you can have family and connections and where... Oh, wait, this is the book.
There's a lot. Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah, it's like, wait a minute.
Existed. He got a wife and a son and realized that connection's the thing and it keeps you grounded and, yeah.
Imagine that, Catholic Church. Anyway, that's what I want to see. I want to see the whole Luke thing. Like, between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. I want to see him, like, have his little school and stuff and out in the woods.
He needs to go back to Yavin. He needs to have the school. He needs to have the kids there and, like, learn. And he learned just as much from them as they learned from him. And
did Anakin just hear the word younglings? What's going on here?
Instantly lightsaber.
That's illegal on certain planets. I'm just saying.
It's wanted in 12 systems.
So, the Jedi Council. Obi-Wan in the original movies made them sound like they were fantastic, and then Palpatine somehow happened and the Sith, and suddenly the Jedi Council were betrayed. This is the as much canon as you get, because the Jedi Council are just a thin sketch that George Lucas raises, but Obi-Wan really gives a shit about the Jedi and the Jedi Council and how much good they stood for. And then you go and you watch the prequels and you're like, these guys are kind of shit. So, like, they're not great. They're kind of fossilized. They've been around too long. They've seen too much. They don't understand the world they live in anymore. Does that make sense? And I guess this ties into a second point. Because of them and how much they are basically the enforcement arm of the Republic, was the Republic worth saving, and is the New Republic doomed to fail, whether or not the First Order comes along?
And that's, I think, the big thing, is the Jedi were not supposed to be like an enforcement arm. Or that's what they at least thought of themselves. And so the Council became stagnant, because they're like, well, we're not going to give up, we're not going to get involved, we're not going to get involved. And maybe they should have, and then they jumped in too late and whatnot. So the Council was dumb.
Yeah, it kind of falls onto that line of any kind of governmental body can become, you know, there's a reason why people don't want to be board members or, part of city council or something like that, because it gets like that. You get so far removed from the people, even though you're trying to be there for the people.
Yep. That was also with the Jedi's, like, I'm going to call it isolationist. It's not really, but the fact that they didn't take on attachments, that you didn't have a family, that you didn't have... You had your Padawan, who, after you trained, you maybe saw again, you maybe not saw again. They took on their own. You were very solitary. And so now you had this council of solitary people who didn't go out and have the attachments. And it's... Yeah, it's that, but monastery.
Yeah. It's a bit weird. Yeah, it was... Very, very monastic kind of lifestyle. And I think that's a thing I wanted to bring up a little bit between, like, the Obi-Wan and Luke thing. Obi-Wan, you know, he's only known Jedi, lived, breathed, you know, from a tiny tot. So it's like, of course, he's kind of going to be a bit more rules-oriented, which was interesting how he became Qui-Gon's Padawan, because Qui-Gon was definitely one of those, like, rules...
Vibes.
The generational difference. Yeah, the generational difference between the master and the Padawan from Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan and then Obi-Wan to Anakin. Like, you can see the evolution of the way people felt about the Force. That's an interesting point. I like that.
But yeah, Luke didn't really have that. All he had was old Ben.
For like 5 minutes.
And pretty much had to do it on his own.
Yeah.
If you take it to the books, then, like, he sees all this stuff. He finds the holocrons. He finds the books and whatnot. And then goes, I see why they failed. There is not a council in the books. There is not a council moving forward. There is a de facto Luke at the top of this pyramid, whatever. But even that, it's just he has the training grounds. It's where they can come. Other Jedi can come and train with him and whatnot. But he's not, like, controlling the world. Now, to be fair, there's only, like, a dozen Jedi at this time because he's the one training them. But there's not a council. There's not this. Even as he promotes Jedis, even as there's more masters and more knights, it's go out and be good.
Don't be a dick. It's a good motto to live by.
Yeah.
Google.
So then, speaking of dicks, Palpatine. So let's not think about Palpatine's dick, though. But
why'd you do that?
I mean, I was picturing his face to begin with.
It's a little flaccid right there. Yeah.
Look, there's enough veins on his face for his entire body. God damn.
So, but anyway, Palpatine, master technician or lucky idiot? Because could Palpatine have done what he did if the Republic hadn't stood for nearly 1,000 years and was clearly fossilized? If the Jedi Council had stood for however long it was and was clearly fossilized? Did he have a great strategy? Because I watching the prequel trilogy, it doesn't really feel like he did. It feels like he played both sides and somehow everything worked out despite his best efforts.
Can you have both? like seriously, like can you be a tactician who then realizes the situation you're in and takes it advantage more than you might have?
Task failed successfully.
So
I don't know.
Well, let's put it this way. There's a key scene that someone, I think it was Sheev, talks online. He does, like, Star Wars podcasting, and he does a whole long thing, and I'm not going to go into it. Go watch his videos on this if you're interested. He did, like, a recap of the second movie and why he hates and likes it and thinks it's bad, but also enjoys the movie anyway because he's a Star Wars fan, and that's just what you have to do. But he raises a scene that is kind of, like, a good signal about how the writing for the whole trilogy kind of works. And it's the attempted assassination on Padme. So, what is the best way to kill Amidala? They know an assassination is coming in. They've posted two Jedi knights who've decided that the best way to protect this woman is to stand outside her room, not post any counter-snipers anywhere, and then just let her sleep, because clearly that's the best thing they can do. And to slide into this assassination attempt, Palpatine tells Dooku to go kill Padme. Dooku then tells Jango Fett, hey, I need you to kill this woman, even though you're also the clone person, and if anyone figures out that it's you, they're gonna follow you, and they're gonna go back to the planet, and otherwise they'd never figure this out at all. Jango then says, hey, you, random shapeshifter bounty hunter that has shapeshifting powers, but that's never gonna be important. Why don't you go and assassinate this person for me so I don't have to get close to them, even though I'm gonna be watching you the whole time and assassinate you the second you're done. And then she decides to fly up and drop two worms into the room, and that's her thing. What the fuck is any of that, and how is that a good plan?
She sends a droid, and the droid sends the worms.
But still, you get my point.
There's another layer in there.
She gives it
to a droid.
This is an assassination attempt that supposedly Palpatine desperately wants, because he sets his best guy on it. And his best guy, Rube Goldberg's into the only way the Jedi could actually somehow successfully save her. Because if anyone else had done it, they would have sat back a block away and just shot the bitch. So, like, what the fuck?
It's the puppet master pulling all the strings, man. If he doesn't do that, you don't get Obi-Wan separated from Anakin. You don't get him light years away. You don't get to feed on Anakin's rage and cultivate that dark side.
You'd still have his rage. His bitch is dead.
Not at the time, though. Not at the time. Like, Anakin's not going to leave her side. And then it shows the true attachment that he has and how much he really cares for Padme. And that's when, you know, Sidious knows, like, I just need to twist that knife a little bit more, and he's mine.
But
like, I think it's brilliant.
If the goal is to have Anakin fall for Padme more, you don't have to do 6 steps to get there. You can just do 1 or 2 and get to that. The way the movie sets it up is like this whole cascade of dominoes, which, don't get me wrong, leads to a thrilling car chase where Anakin and Obi-Wan should have died 3 times each, because have they not heard about OSHA regulations in this city at all?
No.
Like, it's,
nobody
it's,
have a seatbelt.
Right? I mean, it's fantastic to watch, but you're sitting there going, what am I watching? This is ridiculous. It's stupid, but it's fun, so you accept it. It's so much better than the Sound of Music sequence that comes much later. So, it's just... This is Palpatine. This is his plan. One of his many moving steps, as he does dozens of moving steps all over the galaxy somehow. And this is the guy we're supposed to fear as the villain. I didn't mean that to be a closing statement. I expected... I don't know.
I just want to hit the cricket button. But, you know,
so.
I think he's the master manipulator. I do. I think Palpatine is... I think he's brilliant. I really do.
This is the reason why I can't... Aside from midichlorians, this is the reason I can't get into it, because Palpatine has this convoluted plot that makes the Joker from The Dark Knight seem sane by comparison. You know, Joker has 2 steps. Palpatine has 800, and somehow his plan works out even better than Joker's.
I think Palpatine's plan was just to get the most power he could. Mm-hmm. And anytime anything failed or anytime anything happened, he's like, how can I use this? And
awesome.
So
that
not necessarily, he had it planned out to do this and make this long chain. But he's like, okay, my plan is to just do, I almost say the worst I can, but do make the most power he can. Oh, crap, this happened. How can I turn this into a good thing? Okay, I'm going to make this droid army. Okay, now the droid army is bad in the Republic. I got to make myself good, so I got to take power over this. I'm going to make a clone army. Okay, now I'm in control of both of them. The clones have to win, so I'm going to outdo the Newt Gunroy and whatever, and you're out now, you know. So I think he was just trying to take... the most.
It strikes me as like one of those guys you read about on Reddit who's overemployed and somehow just keeps failing upwards at both of his jobs to the point where he's just like scraping to keep up with everything. Like, the way you describe it makes sense, don't get me wrong, but it also makes Palpatine sound really bad at his job of keeping everything in check.
Do we all not have that coworker?
Right? But, like, I think Palpatine also wasn't doing it alone. You know, he had Darth Maul, and it's never been canonized, and it's, you know, aside from fan theories, but I love the Darth Jar Jar theory, dude. Mm-hmm. I think that Jar Jar showed quite a bit of potential, and, like, if he, you know, there was supposed to be, I think it was Jar Jar was supposed to fight Yoda, is the way, like, some people had it written in the Senate there, instead of Palpatine and Yoda. Like, that would have been really cool. So, like, I mean, you know, Misa's so smart. Misa Jar Jar Binks. Like, it's all me.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I am fully behind the whole Darth Jar Jar, because, like, I've read the things. I've seen the theories, and I'm like, talk about master manipulator. Like, who's going to suspect him? Yep. No one.
Nope.
I've seen them. Jar Jar is just a less cute Ewok. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Oh, like his ear flaps.
Yeah, it's the drunken boxing, the way he fights, the acrobatics that he shouldn't be able to do. Like, it's just there's something about him that was never fully flushed out.
Yeah, maybe that is the real question. Instead of like Palpatine, is he super smart or just lucky? What about Jar Jar?
Yeah. There's always two. And two, like, from the same planet like that? I mean, there's a lot of, like, possible theory here, you know? It does track. I see Mike over there putting his head down, like, why? Why? No, it's so good, dude. Dark Jar Jar for the win.
Wow.
You've seen the memes with, like, Palpatine and Dooku. That's like, okay, so I want you to help me train Anakin to be my new Padawan. Okay, yes, Master, I'll do it. And then someone else, you know there can only be two, right? Yeah. So if you're training Anakin, what's happening to you?
But see, that whole there can only be two thing is just, it doesn't, it, even the movies don't hold to that.
Yeah,
because how could he have Dooku, who goes, like, admittedly, this is, like, extended in TV universe stuff. How can he have Dooku, who is a fallen Jedi from, like, years before, but also have Darth? And then how can Dooku also have Ventress, which, again, I know, TV, but still. That's, like, four of those fuckers running around. And if Darth Maul hadn't died, does that mean Dooku and Ventress are still there? Or would Lucas have just not introduced them? And then, of course, you have fucking Grievous, who's kind of a Jedi, but kind of not. And you get the vibe that... You get the vibe that Lucas only made him not a Jedi because then he's like, wait, I made this stupid rule of two. So... I don't know. Grievous is a cool character. Maul is a cool character. I even think Ventress is a cool character. They're all very cool looking. But it is, it's very, very silly. And the TV can eventually threw that out because they have the Inquisitors. And just like, everyone gets a red saber. It's awesome! So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think even the Legacy books got rid of that for the most part. Like, typically there's only one or two villains, and I think it's just more because you just want to remember one or two villains.
Yeah,
you don't
want,
like, this long list.
Well, you want two, because it's easier to have them talk if they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything on, like, there's multiple other Sith and whatnot. So it's just like, yeah, that just never came up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and I mean, it makes sense that it's like there's a master and an apprentice, because even the Jedi do that. They're like, you've got three tiers. You've got, like, Master, Knight, and Apprentice, and one trains the next and so forth, and that's fine. There's your two, but you don't have to codify it as there's only two. The Sith wouldn't propagate if there's only fucking two of them. Come on. That's silly.
If I remember right, that was like a Revan thing or something.
Yeah.
I'm not too good, like I said, with the prequel stuff. But I want to say it was like a Darth Revan or one of the, like, the KOTAR games, like, supposedly codified that. And so, like, the Sith were just this major, you can have however many you want. It got out of hand. There were too many of them. And so whenever he came to power, he was like, nope, it's only me and
can't
my
can't trust his people. Yeah. Can't trust anyone else. But yeah, like, that relates to the fact that the Sith were actually, like, an alien race or something before they became, like, just this religious sect of the Jedi. So it's, like, two different things that got kind of mashed together, which, okay, whatever, I'll accept it. So, anyway. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
So,
our childhood that was shit on for propaganda and to sell.
Why do so many movies have to end with a Death Star? I mean, let's end on this for a second, though. How many of them have, like, 5, 7 of them at this point?
I mean, they expanded the planets in the, the next one.
Yeah, so, like, number one, or number four, and then number six both have Death Stars. Number one has that satellite base that kind of looks like a Death Star. And then you had episode 7 that had the Starkiller base, which is both stupid and a Death Star. And then you
based on the books.
Yeah, and then you had 9, which said, you know what, you don't actually need a whole planetary body to control this much power. Let's just put tiny versions of it on all these fucking ships, and it's fine. That makes sense, because J.J. Abrams is an idiot. So, why so many Death Stars? Just why?
That sounds cool.
Legos?
I suppose.
Yeah. Because you can build a $1,000 Lego.
I don't know why.
Like,
you said Legos, and for a second I heard Eggos, and I'm like, Death Star-shaped Eggos with, like, the little...
Oh, that had to have happened when we were growing up at some point.
Right?
I'm sure there was. They had to have been printed that way.
Delicious. What, the Death Star Eggos?
Yeah.
It has to exist.
There's a waffle
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's no moon. That's a waffle maker.
Misa's so hungry.
My wife threw it away. Nope.
you have a waffle maker.
I had a waffle maker that made it a Death Star.
That is
there
so
we go.
Cool.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly. Not at all. Anyway, this has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, getting horny over Jar Jar's air flaps. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
your friend Mike the Ghoul gonna go and try to drain his midichlorians because this is taking a while.
Thank you guys for coming on the show, and we will see you all next time.